الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل، وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Masha'Allah, ahlan wa sahlan to all of you. Welcome, inshallah. May Allah reward you and accept from you, inshallah ta'ala, and give us understanding of His deen. May Allah help us to understand His religion. And as Allah says, as the Prophet said, whoever Allah loves good for, He gives him fiqh of His religion. This is one of the signs that Allah loves good for a person, if He gives us understanding of His deen. So we ask Allah to give us the understanding, inshallah ta'ala. Today will be the 41st class in the fiqh of marriage. And we spoke about last time the hadith that spoke of the azam, or the withdrawal of the husband during their marital relationship, in order to prevent the conception, or prevent a child from being conceived by his wife. So he withdraws during the marital act in order to prevent the conception of the wife. So today, inshallah, we'll continue on that topic. Bismillah ta'ala. We have a very nice hadith, and inshallah we'll discuss that together. Bismillah, and may Allah help us to understand it. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله إن لي جارية وأنا أعزل عنها وأنا أكره أن تحمل وأنا أريد ما يريد الرجال وإن اليهود يتحدث أن العزل الموؤودة الصغرى. قال كذبت اليهود، لو أراد الله أن يخلقه ما استطعت أن تصرفه. رواه أحمد وأبو داود. أبو سعيد الخدري، may Allah be pleased with him, he said that a man said, O Messenger of Allah, I have a slave girl, and I withdraw the private part while having intercourse with her. This is called azam. I withdraw during the intercourse. I dislike that she would become pregnant, but I want from her what a man wants from a woman. The Jews say withdrawing the private part to avoid conception is the minor form of burying the child alive. The Prophet ﷺ replied, the Jews lied. If Allah wants to create it, you would not be able to turn it away. Hadith is reported by Dawood and Ahmed. Okay, this hadith is the subject of this hadith, of course, is regarding the withdrawal of the husband, or the man from the woman, in order to prevent the pregnancy. And here in this hadith in particular, what it talks about is the man having a relationship with the slave woman, with a woman who's a slave. That's mentioned specifically in this hadith. It's not regarding all women, but he's asking about a slave woman that he owns. He says that he wants to withdraw in order to prevent the slave woman from becoming pregnant. Now the question we would ask is, why would this man want to prevent, or what is the reason why the man would want to prevent a slave woman from becoming pregnant? The scholars, they say that number one, that a slave woman, when a man has relations with her, if she becomes pregnant, then she becomes freed at the moment of his death. If a slave woman becomes pregnant by her owner, she becomes what is called walad, the mother of a child of her master. And the moment that she dies, she becomes, the moment that the sayyid, the master, dies, she becomes a free woman. And we spoke about this previously, and this is one of the wisdoms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the relationship between the master and the slave woman. What is the wisdom for that? Why is a man allowed to have relations with a slave woman? The Orientalists and other people, they say this is because Islam allows the man to enjoy all of his pleasures. But in fact, the reason in the Sharia is because this woman, as soon as she becomes pregnant, then she becomes freed when her master passes away. and all of her children that she has, and their progeny will be free until the Day of Judgment. So this relationship that the man has with a slave woman, the scholars say that that permissibility is like the worm on a hook. When the master, he takes advantage of that relationship with the woman, the Sharia wants to free the slaves. So it gives him this permissibility to enjoy the relations with the slave woman, but at what cost? She gets her freedom. As soon as she becomes pregnant, she gets her freedom and all of her children. So it's like the bait on a hook. It's something that the Sharia gave to the man in order that it would free slaves, and the Sharia loves to free slaves. And not only the woman is free, but her children until the Day of Judgment. Now, this person who has a relationship with a slave woman, he might have an excuse not to want her to get pregnant. And this is what the hadith is asking about. What is an excuse that he would have that he doesn't want the slave woman to become pregnant? And I'd like to mention here, some people might say, why do we speak about these rulings regarding the slavery? We don't have slaves today. There's two main reasons. One is out of respect for our ulama. The ulama in the books of fiqh, they talked about these issues and they studied them, and out of respect for them, we repeat and we learn the knowledge that they put down. And number two is nobody knows the future. Who knows how long the future will continue? Nobody knows if some situation arises where we would have some need for this knowledge. So it's an interesting, or it's important for us to understand it so that we can, inshallah, continue on the beneficial knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so the man, why would be a reason he doesn't want the slave woman to be pregnant? One reason could be is that a man, if he wants to get married, he looks for a free woman. A free man, he looks for a free woman to get married. If he cannot find a free woman, is he allowed to marry a slave woman? Yes, he's allowed to. So a man, he marries the slave woman of another person. She belongs to another person. Now, if she, his wife, this woman that he married, who's a slave to another person, if she becomes pregnant, what happens to that child? That woman, that who's a slave woman, who belongs to somebody else, a free man marries her, and she becomes pregnant and she has a child, whose property is that child? The slave owner. The child will be a slave. And that husband will have no right over that child. And the child will be enslaved to somebody else. And so this man whose wife is a slave woman, he might want to withdraw to prevent her from having a child so that he doesn't get a child that it belongs to somebody else and he has no right to it and no authority over it. That might be one reason, and this is what is mentioned in the hadith, that a person came and he asked, can I withdraw to prevent the slave woman from becoming pregnant? So that could be one of the wisdoms. Another wisdom or another reason, a Sayyid, an owner of a slave woman, he might be in need of that woman. And if she becomes pregnant, she becomes a free woman. As soon as she becomes pregnant, he cannot sell her. He cannot give her away as a gift. She becomes what is called walad, and then he is no longer able to deal with her like he would another woman. So he might have a need for this woman, in order to serve him, in order to take care of him, and he does not want her to become a free woman. So this is what some of the ulama mentioned about regarding this particular hadith. So this person who came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I have a slave woman. And I have a desire that every other man has. I have the desire to have a relationship with a woman. This is what every man, he has this natural desire. But I'm afraid that she becomes pregnant. I don't want her to become pregnant. So then he says, am I allowed, or he's asking about, can I do the, what is called, coitus interruptus in English, or the withdrawal to prevent the sperm from going and fertilizing the woman. Am I allowed to do this? Is this permissible? Or I heard, and then he says, I heard what the Jews have said. That the Jews say that doing this coitus interruptus is a type of burying the baby alive. I don't know if you were here last time, we talked about in the Arab times, in the Jahiliyyah, they would take a baby girl and throw her in a hole and bury her alive. So the Jewish people, what they had said is that when a man withdraws from the woman and prevents the sperm from fertilizing the woman, they said that he is burying, it's a form, a minor form of burying that baby alive. This is what the Jewish people said. And so this Sahabi, he was confused by this statement. He was worried. And the Jewish people, what they said, it had a lot of respect. They respected what the Jewish people said, because the Arabs, they were, before Islam, they were pagans. They didn't have a book, they didn't have a revealed book. But the Jews, do they have a book? That, which book? They had the Torah. So they had some revealed book. And so the Arabs, they respected the opinion of the Jewish people. So when they said that if you withdraw from the woman, you're burying the child alive, it's a minor form of killing the child alive, this Sahabi got worried. And so he said, let me go to the Prophet ﷺ, let me ask him what about what the Jewish people have said. So now, the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this, he said that the Jews have told a lie. First of all, the burying, why is it called the minor burying of the child alive? The Jewish people, they had the, what they implied by that, is that this life was being killed and there was no way that it could become a child. That by a man withdrawing from his wife, he's killing, or from a woman, he's killing this baby alive. It's a minor form of burying the child. If it had become alive and he buried it, this is a minor form of doing that. This is what the Jewish people had said. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said on a different occasion, he said something a little bit different. He said it's a type of a hidden way of burying alive. He didn't say it's a minor way, he didn't say sughra, but he said it's a hidden way, meaning that it's kind of like when you have a seed, and the seed is going to become a flower, and you prevent the seed from growing. So he said it's a kind of way of preventing that seed from reaching its maturity. But he didn't say it was a killing. He didn't say it's a small form of killing. No. He said it's a hidden way. So what the Jewish people were saying is this is a type of killing a small child, whereas the Prophet ﷺ, he said it's only preventing the life from coming about. So both the Prophet ﷺ and the Jewish people, the Islam and Judaism, they agree that there is a type of preventing the life from coming about. And it's discouraged in Islam. It's discouraged to do the withdrawal, and the reason is that it's the potential life. And the scholars, they give a very interesting example. They say that when you're on Hajj, are you allowed, when you have the ihram, are you allowed to hunt animals? You're not allowed to hunt animals. Okay, what about an egg? Are you allowed to take an egg and break the egg? Yes, you're not allowed to break the egg. Even though when Allah says the sayd, the hunting, the egg is not a hunting animal, but there's still a punishment that a person has to do for killing an egg or breaking an egg. And they say because the egg was going to become a bird, and the bird is a hunting animal. So, because you're killing something that would have become a hunting animal and you would have been punished for it, there's still a punishment for killing it as an egg. And likewise, when a person withdraws and he does the coitus interruptus, he's also preventing the life from coming about. Okay, so the egg is like the sperm. It's a potential life that was going to come about. So it's forbidden to break the egg, and it's also forbidden, or it's at least strongly discouraged to do the coitus interruptus, according to this hadith. Now, when we go to the words of the Prophet ﷺ, that he said the Jews have told a lie. What did he mean by this? That the Jews told a lie, that it's a killing a baby, or killing the, it's a minor form of burying the baby alive. Why did he say they told a lie? What the answer to that is what he said after that. He said, when he said the Jews told a lie, then he said, if Allah wanted to create it, then they would never be able to stop it from happening. The Jewish people, they had the idea that by withdrawing, he was definitely stopping the baby, from stopping the woman from becoming pregnant. The Prophet ﷺ, he responded and said, if Allah wanted to create it, he would create it. There's no way you can stop it from happening. And he said in another hadith, if he put his water on a rock, Allah would have can create it if He wants to. And even today they found that a woman, sometimes even she might touch the water of the husband in another way, by some underwear, some cloth, and become pregnant. So he said, even a little bit of, and in another hadith he said, it's not all of the water that creates a child, but only a small amount. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and what he was saying is that, what he was implying is that, the man might try to withdraw, but he might not do it in time, or he might not feel it, and the wife will still become pregnant. So he was teaching a lesson to that Sahabi, that yes, what the Jewish people are saying is not true. You're not killing the baby. If Allah wants to create it, He still will. It's just a small amount of water. It might come out early. You might not do it properly, and the baby will still be created. So don't believe the statement of the Jews that you're killing the baby. You're not killing it. If Allah wants to create that baby, He will still create it, even with the smallest amount. Right? Do you understand what the Prophet said? He was trying to remove this idea that you're, by withdrawing, it's killing the baby alone. He said, no. Allah can still create it. You're not stopping Allah from creating something. And sure enough, this Sahabi, in some narrations, he came back 1 year later and he said, Ya Rasulullah, that slave woman that I was withdrawing from, she became pregnant. So he says, the Prophet said, I bear witness that I am the Messenger of Allah and His servant. What he said was true. If Allah wants to create it, He will still create it, even if He tries to withdraw in time. So this is why the Jews, what they had said was not true. A person could not prevent that from taking place. He could not prevent the fertilization from taking place definitely. He might try to, but he cannot say definitely, this is what the Prophet ﷺ was canceling, that idea that you can definitely prevent the child. Okay, and this one last point, inshallah, before we finish, is that what happened is Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he heard this hadith, he was very strict with the Sahabi. And he said, I don't want anybody who has a child, anybody whose slave woman becomes pregnant, I will establish the paternity of that Sayyid, even if he claims that he did the withdrawal. Because he understood this hadith, he understood the meaning, the fiqh of the Prophet ﷺ. Even if this person claims, no, I withdrew from this slave woman, Umar said, you become the father of that child, the child will be a free child, and the woman will become free from slavery. And subhanAllah, of course now we know in modern context that yes, it's only a tiny, one little minuscule sperm that gives the fertilization of the egg. It's not all of the water. They didn't have that understanding at that time. The Prophet ﷺ was showing and teaching this, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he understood that. In fact, he used to say to his son, anybody of you, if you do this azal, then he's going to beat them. He was very tough. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was very, very strong and very tough. They say that they have a saying in Arabic, that if he fed somebody, he would make sure they had their fill. And if he hit somebody, he made sure they got injured. Umar was very, very strong, but he was also, mashallah, he was the Prophet ﷺ said, if there was a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. So he was strong, and you can see this, when he understood the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he immediately applied the ruling. Anybody whose slave woman becomes pregnant, I am going to establish his paternity. And that's a big responsibility. Now the child is free, the woman cannot be sold, she cannot be given away. And his son, Ibn Umar, he also understood this ruling. And one of the Sahabi said, would any Muslim do this? Why would they do this withdrawal? Now that they understand the ruling of the Prophet ﷺ, why would a Muslim do this? So again, we see the discouragement from this practice. And finally, to conclude, inshaAllah ta'ala, what we understand from this hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala, is number one, that the person who withdraws from the slave woman, the reason why he might want to do that is if she becomes pregnant, she becomes free. And this shows you the beauty of the Islamic law, that it's not what the Orientalists say about Islamic law, that it wants to give the man freedom to enjoy all of his pleasures, but actually it has a great benefit to emancipate the slaves. Number two, what we see from this hadith is that the concept of the Jewish people that a person can stop pregnancy through coitus interruptus was rejected by the Prophet ﷺ. And he said it's only a small amount of water, and he rejected that concept from the Sahabi. So these are two important lessons, inshaAllah ta'ala, and may Allah give us the beneficial understanding of his deen, inshaAllah ta'ala, and may Allah reward all of you, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and accept from you. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to hear your questions, inshaAllah, on this subject or on another subject, you're welcome to ask, inshaAllah ta'ala. Always, if the sisters have questions, they can pass up a paper or put it under the door, they're welcome to ask those. Yes, brother.
I just want to clarify. As soon as the slave woman gets pregnant, she becomes free, or when the master passes?
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I made a shortcut here. Mm. As soon as she becomes pregnant, then she becomes what is known as walad, the mother of a child. She becomes free when the master dies. The moment he dies, then she becomes a free woman, emancipated woman. However, when he's alive, she's called walad. He cannot sell her, he cannot give her away, he cannot do anything else with her. She's his slave woman, but that's it. He cannot give her away or sell her after that. And then after he passes away, she becomes free. And her children, they will be free after that. So that's a good point. Jazakallah khair. Yes?
Yes, will the child that is born from the slave woman, will he be entitled for any inheritance?
Okay, this is a good question. The woman herself, she's not entitled to inheritance. But him being the child, he's a free child of that man, he is entitled to inheritance. That's correct. That's a very good point. If he was a slave, he would not have had any inheritance, but because now he's free, and the man, his son, is entitled to full inheritance in that case. Yes, that's a very good point. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu fiik. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept from all of you. Any other questions before we finish? Inshallah ta'ala. Yes. Oh. No question? Okay, inshallah. Brother, any questions over here? Any questions from the sisters? Khair, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna, faqihna fi deen. Allahumma ja'alna hudatan muhtadin wa la taj'alna dhalin wa la mudinin. Allahumma ja'alna mafatihan min khair, maghalifan min shar. Oh Allah, please accept from us and guide us and our children and our parents. O Allah, heal the sick of the Muslims. O Allah, benefit us from the knowledge. O Allah, let the knowledge continue propagating to our children and many generations to the future. Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, let us have knowledge that will help us reach your paradise. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Save us from knowledge that will bring no benefit to us. O Allah, accept from us. O Allah, save us from all the harm. Save us from the hellfire. O Allah, give us much benefit. Give us a good ending in this world. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Let us meet you with much good deeds, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive all of our sins, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Put in our hearts love for all the believers, and remove all of our sins, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.